Welcome to Starry Story Night, the new special event in the Starry Story Night constellation that sheds a light on local luminaries, with true stories on a theme, told live on stage and without notes. In September 2013 at Boise Contemporary Theater, our debut show went down under the theme Brave New World, with some jaw-dropping revelations from the famous among us. First up, the bearded wonder, Alan Heathcock. He cuts an unforgettable figure around town and is the author of Volt, a best book selection from numerous newspapers and magazines, including GQ, Publishers Weekly, Salon, the Chicago Tribune, and Cleveland Plain Dealer, and named as New York Times Editor's Choice, as well as a finalist for the Barnes & Noble Discover Prize. Al has won a Whiting Award, a National Magazine Award, an NEA Fellowship, and was voted Best Living Idaho Writer in a Boise Weekly Readers Poll. Now, let's hear Al's story. Light up the place. It's Starry Time.
I'm going to take off my glasses. I can't see you. It makes me a little bit more brave. I'm a writer. I chose a living which I tell stories. And for a long time, I wondered why I was drawn so much to telling stories. And I realized not long into working on my book that I tell stories as a way of making sense of the world. And particularly things that scare and confound me. And so it's a necessity. It allows me, telling a story allows me to see myself, though, in a way that's bearable. And in that way, the telling of a story is an act of hope. And this is all to say I'm very happy to be here. The story I'm going to tell tonight took place in Hazel Crest, where I grew up. It's a working-class town in the Southland area of South Chicago. It was a great place to grow up. Now that I'm not there, I understand that it's a very tough place in comparison to other places. I didn't realize that while I was there. The story I'm going to tell has taken place the summer after my senior year in college. And I was eyeballing moving into the big people world and had a job lined up in downtown Chicago with an office and the whole nine yards. So for one last summer, I decided to work one last summer where I'd worked since I was 16 years old at this public swimming pool, Crestview Pool. And I had worked my way up from starting to selling concessions and popcorn and nachos and such, and now I was the manager of the pool. Now, the pool is a great place, but we had a really serious problem with theft. And we were upfront about it. We just kind of said, you know, there's signs everywhere. People come in like, do not put your stuff out. Just put them in the locker. You get a key with your locker, put everything in. People will steal anything. They'll steal your towels. What happened this summer is every day someone's coming, they stole my towel. I'm like, don't leave your towel out. You got to put it in the locker. We tell you that people are stealing everything, right? They stole my suntan oil. What did I tell you? Stole my sunglasses. One young lady came up and said, someone stole my retainer. I'm not kidding. She said I was eating my nachos and I put it down and I look away and I look back and I'm like, who would steal someone's retainer? But that's what we're dealing with here. So it was getting to be a problem. It was really weighing on me. And there was a couple incidents where we had people from not in the area come in and they really got upset about the fact, you know, to me it was just, this is where we are. Don't leave your stuff out. This is Hazel Crest. But we'd have people from the outside. It's like, what is wrong with you people? Stealing, you stole my kid's Ninja Turtle towel. I'm like, I'm sorry. We told you not to leave it out. But it started to weigh on me. You know, every day people come in. And so I started, like, taking laps. Instead of just sitting in the office, I would walk around and kind of talk to people, but in the same time, I'd be keeping an eye on things and making sure nothing got stolen. So one day, I'm walking around, and I hear a lady across the pool yell, "Hey, stop those boys, stop them!" And I look, and I see two young men dashing towards the back of the pool. Now, the pool was surrounded on all sides, as was required by law, by a 12-foot-high chain-link fence. And I see one of the kids is carrying a handbag, and they climb up over the fence and jump over and start running away. And some switch was thrown in me. I was angry. And I was just in my swimsuit and my bare feet, and I took off running. And I hit that fence, and I climbed that fence, and at the top, I caught my leg on it, and I cut my leg, and I hopped over, and I started running, and it was just open field back behind the pool. About a half mile, you can see a service road, and even further than that, there's a little aluminum outbuilding that had a basketball court in it that was our recreation center. But other than this, just open field, and these guys were running. I was running after them, and when I was younger, I was a good athlete. I was a basketball player and all everything baseball player. I was very fast, and I could feel myself catching up to them. I'm going to catch them, and I feel myself getting closer. I was so angry, and I was about 20 feet away, and I said, "You stop! You stop!" And an extraordinary thing happened. They stopped. It makes no sense to me at all. There's two of them. And I was so angry at the time, I didn't even recognize, even though they were younger than me, they were not bigger than me. And more than likely, the instinct to stop was we were now in the middle of the field, far away from anybody else, and they probably could just turn around and smack me a couple times and, you know, run, just jog away at that point. But I was so mad, I marched up, and I snatched the handbag out of them, and I came behind both of them. I just grabbed them by the back of the shirt, and I started shoving them forward back towards the pool. And I was so mad, I was just cursing at them. "You piss me off! You make everybody's life miserable! People get stuff stolen every day! Damn you, you sons of bitches!" Just pushing them forward. I was so mad, my legs bleeding, and I just keep talking and pushing them forward, and sure enough, everybody in the pool has now come to the fence. "You get him, Al! Way to go, Al!" And they start, like some cheesy movie, they start all clapping. "All right!" And so I take the guys around the front, and they had already called the police, and brought them into the office, and the police came, and they talked to me for a minute, and they took them away in the squad car, and the cherry on the top, that cute lifeguard I always had a crush on came in and with a cotton ball and alcohol cleaned off my leg. It was one of the greatest days of my life. I mean, we wonder what we're made of. When tested, what is going to come out of us? It doesn't happen every day. But every once in a while, something happens. I am stronger than I thought. I'm faster than I thought. I was proud because I was justice. I had done something to alleviate the sense that our peace was being disrupted just for a little bit of time. I was very proud of that. I still am. It was less than a week later, on a Friday night, we closed up the pool, shut everything down, and my buddies came and got me because there was a house party going on just a few blocks away. So we went to this big house party, and it's what you've seen in movies with kids everywhere and loud music and kegs in the backyard and all of that kind of stuff. And we're having fun. And one of my buddies comes over to me, and he was just agitated, just incensed. And I'm like, "Man, what's wrong with you?" And he said, "You see that guy over there?" And he points to a guy, and I'm like, "Well, yeah, I know that guy. We weren't on the same baseball team, but we played on the same traveling tournament team when we were younger." I'm like, "Yeah, I know him." It's like, "Well, that dude has been dating my sister, and last week they broke up, and they got into it, and he smacked her around a little bit, and it's not right what he did." It's not okay with me. And now he's out at this party, and he's just having a good old time. Look at him over there, just chatting up girls like nothing in the world's happened. And he says, it's not right. We got to do something. And I'm like, you know what? That's not right. Yeah, what should we do? And by this time, a few of our other buddies had come around. And so they got this plan after a couple minutes of discussion, and they said, here's what we'll do. We'll all walk to that recreation center that's down that road, that service road, and we'll just wait out there in the dark. And what we want you to do, Alex, since you know him, you convince him that we're going to have a party out in that rec center. And you bring him out there, and we'll be waiting. And I said, all right, I can do that. I can do that. And so they left. The plan was to give him about a half an hour head start. And so as time went by, I went over to the guy. It's so typical. He's wearing like a, you know, white tank top, all ragged, baseball cap turned a little bit sideways. And everything he said was dumb. I mean, he was just a jackass. And I'm just like, all right, here we go. Now, it was, I won't say what I said to get him to come. But I was even smart enough even then to know that all you have to do to get someone to come with you is think, what does this person want for the night, and promise to give them that, and they'll follow you anywhere. And so I told him that whatever I thought he needed, we'd have at that rec center. And he said, all right, man, let's get out of here. This party's annoying me. So we head out, walking down the road. Now, I don't remember everything that happened, but I do remember a few things. I remember that his temperament changed once it was just the two of us outside of the party. And I remember I asked him about work. And he said, man, it's terrible. He'd been working construction, and he hurt his shoulder. And he said that he had told his boss that his shoulder was hurt, and his boss just said, you don't work, you don't get paid. And he said, so I just keep working, and every night, man, my shoulder is something wrong with it. And I just come home, and I just drink. My shoulder hurts so bad. And then he said, hey, man, does your dad still coach baseball? And I said, no. We're older now, you know. He doesn't coach anymore. He said, man, your dad was the best baseball coach I ever had. He said, man, I wish, remember when, whenever we won a game, we would get to go to Alpine Frosty and get a free ice cream cone? And I said, yeah, I remember that. He said, I wish we were just kids again. Wasn't that great? And I said, yeah. We're walking and walking. And he started to become human to me. And that's not what I needed. And so I asked him about the girl. I said, hey, man, are you still dating? And I said the name of my buddy's sister. He said, no, I'm done. I'm done with women. He said, man, our lives are a mess now, and all we do is we get together and we dump our shit on each other. It's terrible. That's all we do. Just dump our shit. There's no use of being with somebody. So it was just terrible. We're walking up on the rec center now, and there's something in me that is saying, you need to stop. Just turn around. But I don't. And we're walking up to the rec center doors, and all the lights are out. And he said, you sure they're here, man? And I said, yeah, they're here. He said to meet us up in the wrestling loft. And I opened the door, and it's this glass-fronted door covered in chicken wire. We didn't walk four steps in before they jumped on him. And I could hear him screaming. He had no idea what was happening to him. Had no idea. just confused, there in the dark. And my friends just savaged him, stomping him, punching him, kicking him, screaming. And I did nothing. I did nothing. I just backed away. And I pushed out the door, and I stood there in the darkness for a little bit, and then I just walked back to my car, and I drove home. And I knew almost immediately that this was something that would haunt me forever. Because I knew then that I could not be trusted. Brave new world. Brave new world. It's true. We must be brave enough to chase down that which jeopardizes our sense of peace and say, stop! You must stop. But we must be vigilant. We must be absolutely clear-eyed, must be brave to make sure that we are not the ones who need to be stopped. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. Starry Story Night is brought to you by our story party, including yours truly, Jessica Holmes, with Nissen Nagel, Emma Arnold, Kylie Krill, and Kim Warren, as well as our venue partner, Boise Contemporary Theater, and fabulous volunteers. Big props to Boise State Public Radio for podcast recording and broadcast support, to Dylan Haas for podcast production, and to Dan Costello for the theme song, played with Classical Revolution members Michael Meyer and Phil Castle. Photography by Paul Budge and design by Tiffany Sue. Join us on the podcast next time and stay tuned for event updates and more at storystorynight.org and on Facebook or on Twitter at StoryStoryNight.